Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
In case you missed it this week, the U.S. men's soccer team took on El Salvador in Tennessee. At stake, a chance to qualify for the Summer Olympics in London. Having already lost to Canada, the U.S. needed a win or else no Olympics. And with just seconds to go in stoppage time, they were ahead 3-2. But then El Salvador's Jaime Alas gathered in a pass on the left side and fired toward the goal. And well, here's how the Spanish language play-by-play picked up the action.
Se viene El Salvador. Prepara disparo. El arquero. Gol. Gol.
It's the same word in Spanish, and it means the U.S. men's soccer team will not be going to the Olympics. Only a Games. Bill Littlefield is with us, as he is every Wednesday, to talk about the week in sports. And Bill, this was heartbreaking. The U.S. had battled back from a 2-1 deficit in a must-win game, but then this crushing last-second turnaround. What happened?
Well, what happened was what happens sometimes in soccer. He kicked the ball with his foot. It went into the goal. The goalie couldn't stop it.
Does this loss and the fact that the U.S. won't be going to the Olympics mean that does it deal a serious blow to soccer in the U.S.?
No, I don't think so at all. First of all, the Olympic competition is not the World Cup, as evidenced by the absence of Germany, Argentina, the Netherlands, Italy, all teams that, you know, are sending teams, obviously, to the European Championships, which coincide with the Olympics. And it's a U23 tournament, meaning almost all the players on each team have to be 23 years old or younger. And, you know, you also have to take into consideration that MLS in this country, professional soccer, is into what must be considered at least a very healthy adolescence. There are more teams, there's more television coverage, there are more stadiums that are soccer-only stadiums. By any measure, this is a growing concern, and it's crazy to think that one disappointment would sink it.
Interesting to me that several big soccer powers, you mentioned this, won't be represented in London, including Argentina, Italy, France, Germany, the Netherlands. What's happening here? What does this say about Olympic competition?
Well, it says that the European Championships are happening at the same time, and they're very important to those countries.
Well, let's move on and talk NCAA basketball in the Final Four. On the men's side, of course, four teams, and this is how the New York Times described them. Top-seeded Kentucky, number two seeds Kansas and Ohio, and number four Louisville. All have potential Hall of Fame coaches, generate an eye-popping amount of revenue, and have a combined 50 Final Four appearances. So this has turned into quite a contest, hasn't it?
Yeah, lots of the usual suspects appearing on the men's side, and it's even truer of the women's side, where all four number one seeds went through and will play for the championship.
Well, let's talk about the women first. We have Stanford versus Baylor, mm-hmm. and Notre Dame versus UConn just down the road from us. What stands out in this competition?
If anybody beats Baylor, it will be a terrific upset. They have been absolutely stunning all season, winning their games by impossibly large margins week after week after week. That hasn't really changed in the tournament. I would think they would go through.
Mm. And back on the men's side, I guess the big question is, can anyone knock off Kentucky, right?
Yeah, Louisville versus Kentucky is a great game. A little regional down the road kind of a contest there. And, hey, you don't play badly and get to the Final Four, so you have to respect Ohio State and Kansas as well.
Well, that'll be a fun competition to watch. So from the Final Four to the so-called Frozen Four, that, of course, refers to the NCAA Hockey Championship. And the big local news, Boston College advanced to its 10th Frozen Four in 15 years with a 4-0 win this week over the defending NCAA champion Minnesota Duluth. How do you like BC's chances going forward?
Well, if you believe in momentum, you have to like them a lot. 16-game winning streak going into the semifinals. And I also like the fact that if they can get by Minnesota, they'll be playing either Union or Ferris State. And I would have to think that BC on a roll would be favored over either of them.
Okay, from a winter sport to a summer sport. Hard to believe, but Major League Baseball has already begun. The season is underway with two games between Oakland and the Seattle Mariners in Japan. And by the time we're talking next week at this time, the rest of the baseball season will be underway. Let's talk about the Red Sox. Sports Illustrated picked them to finish third behind the New York Yankees and Tampa Bay. That doesn't sound good.
No.
What's your view of the coming season?
Well, I have to agree with Sports Illustrated on this one because I think both the Yankees and the Rays improved over the offseason, and the Red Sox seem to have added the element of confusion. they got a guy who's a kind of career backup shortstop. They're not quite sure who all three of their...
This is Mike Avilas.
Exactly. Yeah. Not quite sure who all their outfielders will be. Certainly not entirely sure who their fourth and fifth starters are going to be.
Well, I don't remember a past Red Sox season beginning with so many unanswered question. You mentioned who's going to play shortstop, right field. Do they have a catcher who can play a full season, the fourth or fifth starter? This seems unprecedented.
The hope, I think, is that Bobby Valentine will simply be such a main attraction in this particular three-ring circus that people will not worry too much about the confusion that you've mentioned.
So he's going to play shortstop, right field, and catcher and pitch?
I'm not sure he can actually step in and do that, but presumably he will take some of the heat off the players and make it easier to play in Boston than it has been under other managers. We'll see how well that works out.
All right. Bill Littlefield is host of NPR's Only a Game, which you can hear Saturdays at 7 in the morning and again at 7 in the evening. He joins us every Wednesday here on Radio Boston. Bill, thanks so much.
Thank you, Anthony.